Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Phil Tiger. Slacker Podcast.
Hello, Slackers. I hope you're good. Hope you're well. Hope everything is good and gravy wherever it is you are. This is the Slacker Podcast. You're a Slacker and I am the Slacker in charge today. I am Phil Taggart. If you've just come on for this podcast and this is the first time that you've ever been here, then hello. Nice to meet you. Hope you're good. Tell me something about yourself. Oh, wow. Wow. That's very, very interesting. I never thought about it like that before. There's loads of podcasts for you to go back about. This is a primarily 99.9% a music podcast where we just get the best musicians and artists on every single week to talk through sometimes early demos, sometimes early moments in their musical career. And we kind of just hope that it veers off into very interesting digressions and subjects and all the rest of it. If you haven't already, there's a YouTube channel now that goes along with the podcast. So it would be amazing if you subscribe to that, because I know we've got thousands and thousands of listeners on the Slacker Podcast, but the YouTube channel is in its infancy and it's only a wee baby. And because it's a little baby, it's only got little baby numbers. As well, and it's really hard starting YouTube channels, like learning like thumbnails and like how to actually shoot things. I've been living in the world of audio for much too long, so I'll put a link to the Slacker Phil YouTube page down below, so you can go and subscribe to that and see like visualize actually what you're listening to, because I will be putting up a lot. I record all the podcasts. I will be putting a lot of them up there, as well. Also, see the Slackers that are supporting the podcast on the Patreon. What a sound bunch of lads. A great bunch of lads. Really, really are. Seriously, thank you so much to everybody who helps out with the Slacker Podcast. There's a couple of new that joined in this week. It's £2 or $2 even, which is even less, like minimum, and you get loads of extra bonus stuff, bonus podcasts. I've got like loads of different like playlists and stuff that I'm putting up. There's loads of stuff, heaps and heaps of stuff over on the Patreon, which I'll link to below as well. And I'm just brings us like neatly onto our Slacker guest this week. So different to last week, isn't it? How many Jaden Smiths could you get into Bob Geldof in terms of years? I must add, a couple anyway. It's definitely a varied lineup that we've got this year. I've got loads more. I'm probably booked up now until November in terms of how many podcasts we have. I thought it was very interesting to sit down with Jaden, because I quite like his music. I like the single that he had coming out of his new album, Cool CVT3. And I just think he's like an interesting dude, and he'll have a lot to say, and he did. And here it is, our Slacker Podcast with Jaden in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, man. Yeah, I'm not too bad. How you doing?
I'm fantastic, man. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I love your background. I need to like work on mine.
No, I appreciate that, man.
Welcome to the Slacker Podcast, Jaden Smith. How you doing?
I'm doing really good, bro. What about you?
Yeah, I'm good. Like over where we are at the minute, it's Brighton in the UK. It's like coastal. The sun's going down. It's 7 p.m. I'm going to like have a glass of wine or something like after this.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to chill. I'm straight chilling. What about you?
That's awesome, man. I'm just hanging out here, man. It's actually like, it's 11 here. We're just hanging out, about to just get the day started and probably go get in the studio or something.
Wicked, man. Have you got a studio in your house? Do you leave your house to go to the studio? How does that work?
Yeah, I do have like a small, like, yeah, I have like a mic set up to a computer in my house, which qualifies as a studio these days. But I don't have like a full on recording studio inside of my house, but I do just have enough to just record vocals.
Is that a dream? Because like you see these rock stars and like they roll out of bed and they like roll into their studio and it's like,
yeah,
full like live room, drum room, vocal room.
Having a studio in the house would definitely be a dream. Yeah, 100%.
But you see, the thing is, like, I've got like a tiny little room that out the back of my house where I'm recording all this right now, and like I set all this up during COVID because I was like, right, I won't see anybody for ages, so I'm gonna set all this up. Only problem is, anytime I do an interview, my dog starts barking. My dog's like,
wow.
I want in on this.
That's hilarious. That's awesome.
Do you have a dog? Do you have a cat? Do you have any pets?
You know, my parents actually do have a bunch of pets. They do. So when I go and visit them, I feel like I have a bunch of pets too, because they have so many.
Listen, man, congrats on the new record. It's coming out next Friday, 7 days time. Yep. How are you feeling on it? Like, is the hype train rolling?
The hype train is definitely rolling. I'm really excited. I'm really happy. It's I want the world to just hear the album, because I feel like I'm really hoping that, you know, there's some people out there who can really feel it and just relate to it.
Is this like a trilogy, like CTV3? Is there going to be like a 4 or 5? Or because like sometimes you see a trilogy and you're like going, that's it, that's like the end of the chapter, onto a new chapter.
Yes. Sometimes it's just that it just depends on what the fans say. Like, if the fans, you know, bug me for the next like 3 years about making another cool tape, something, you know, I've already started to think about other cool tape stories, High Did Sunset tapes, to do like something that's like in the world of this.
Yeah.
But doing like a number 4, I don't know. I don't know if I'll do a number 4 to this, or if I'll do
this one out first.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, and if I did, then I would have to make 5 and 6. You know what I mean? So
it's going to end up in Star Wars territory, right?
Yeah, literally. Like, it's there.
I was thinking about this, right? When I was listening through to your like records recently, I was like, if Sire is like the angel, right, and Eris is the devil, then what's ETV3? Like, is that like purgatory, or like what's going on?
So it's like, it's like Sire and Iris were like two extremes of my personality. And then, you know, I think Cool Tape Volume 3 is more of like a, hey, before you ever knew that you had these extreme sides to your personality, this is what was going on. So it's kind of like the story of me before I found out a lot of stuff about myself that I know now. So it's kind of like, it's just my journey.
This is like the most comfortable then you must feel on record, if this is like the most honest you are, if this is like who you are really.
Yeah. I think this is the most comfortable that I've ever felt on a record, for sure. And that's why I'm so excited for people to hear it as well.
Big time. Is there like a track on there that like people are going to be talking about? Is there like one or two tracks on there that you're like going, when this comes out, those are the tracks that everybody's going to be like, whoa, what did he say there?
Yeah. Like I think that there's this song called Drops of Sun that's really going to be like, it's going to be one of those songs that's like, you know, I just don't believe that Jaden Smith actually made this song type of thing, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited for that. Drops of Sun, Photograph, and Deep End are all songs that I think that people are generally going to be like, I don't understand this. at all.
That's good though, like, because like the thing is, once it's out there, it's up to the fans to jump on whatever they think is the right one. Like from somebody like myself who's like run a DIY record label for ages, right, when I put out a single, I'm like, that's gonna be their biggest single ever. Mm-hmm. And then it's the one like two down the road that we just thought was just okay ends up becoming
totally
like it's totally really, it's hard to like predict what your fans are gonna like.
It really is.
Big time. Really, what I really appreciate, like having like sort of seen everything that's going around this record, right, is like sonically, visually, like the aesthetics and the sonics connect so well. Like I feel like when I'm looking at it, I'm hearing it, and I could be listening on mute and vice versa. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
Just melds in. Like, how militant are you keeping that connection together of the aesthetics and the sonics?
Yeah, you know, I'm really specific about, you know, the visuals going with the music and how it all comes together. I'm very, very, I'm into that, you know. That's like a big part of the art for me, is like what people are looking at and how they're experiencing and everything. And yeah, I love it. I just, the whole art of mixing the visuals and the music with me. And that's why I'm so just keen on making music videos all the time too, because I just, they're just so much fun. Like it just feels fun.
Like they're perfect, really. Like if you think about it, because you can make a music video and it's like a short film. Like you don't need it to make sense. It doesn't have to necessarily always have like a three act narrative. Mm-hmm. You can just kind of go ham on it and
100%
where it goes.
You can literally do whatever you want.
I'm being super nosy, right? See, in the background, you've got like a bass there.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of bass is that? Because I'll show you mine if you show me yours. How about that?
Yeah, this is actually, this is a used Fender bass. So this is a used Fender bass.
That is nice.
That I got for my homies to jam with me.
Yeah.
So that I could just keep up here in my room. So when I start playing my songs, they can start just like kind of just playing around with me, like on a vibe. Like I have to actually get a proper like bass amp though, because I don't have one.
Me too. I've only got my bass over. I've like got it back for the first time after 10 years, and it's like the most gorgeous looking guitar.
After 10 years, what was happening?
I got a job at Radio 1 and became a broadcaster, like and playing new music and all the rest of it. And I was like, I can't fuck with new music if I'm making my own. So I was like, right,
wow. Well,
I'm not making my own anymore. So
you just got back?
Yeah, I dumped like any of like the idea of like being in another band, because like you can't play anybody else's music with impunity while playing in another band. You know what I mean?
You've
got like an iron in the fire. And you
totally
kind of don't want to be that, like, but at the same time, like, you know, I mean, music to me is, it's always there. It's like full 360. Like it's there when I wake up, I'm talking about it. Like even like right now, like we're not playing, mm-hmm. but we're talking about it because we're music fans. And I guess music had a big impact on me, because I grew up outside of a small town in a quite like isolated, environment. So like I lost myself in music. Like what was your sort of like journey with music, like personally, like in the very early days?
Yeah, I always had this special connection to making music, and like you said, it's everywhere. You wake up, you listen to it, we're talking about it. Music is just all around us, and I think it's so beautiful and amazing. Mm. And I've always felt like I needed to express myself in a certain way that really, I felt like a lot of people wouldn't get, but it would help us to relate if they did get it. And then I found out later on that a lot of other people might feel that way too, and feel like they can't find their way to express themselves. And a song that I make or somebody else makes might be the thing that's like, well, I feel like this all the time or whatever. And it's like, wow, like that's really insightful to like how you are as a person and how I should have conversations with you.
Like I feel way better when I hear sad songs, because it makes me feel like less like an absolute like leper.
Totally.
Because you see other people are going through stuff too. Mm-hmm. But like, I had like a real sort of like special moment with like music at the very beginning. I remember like hearing it when I was like 3 or 4, and having that sort of moment, going, "What is this?" Like, did you have an early moment with music that you, or an early record that like really sort of spoke to you?
Oh yeah, Living My Life Like It's Golden. Living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden. That song really impacted me, where I was like, wow, this is a song and I'm listening to it and it's awesome. And I'm like, wow. And someone made this song. Like, and like, that was a real moment for me where I was like, man, music, like, this is fantastic. Like, I might want to make this when I get older.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of like making music when you're that age is like, it doesn't exist. Like, you're just like
bashing
pots and pans off, like,
totally. 100%.
Was there like any like groups or like acts that you were like obsessed with? Because you're like, what, you're like a 98 baby, right? So you would have been like cognitive from about what, like 2003?
Yeah, 100%.
Well, I'm just like, I'm trying to think like what was popping like then that you would have been like,
I think at that point in time I was still just like outside, like playing in the dirt, like looking for worms and stuff. But like, I can't remember the first real thing that I was like obsessed with musically. Honestly, like, the first real thing that I was obsessed with was Kid Cudi. Like, it took me all the way up until like becoming like a teenager pretty much to like be like, wow, I'm obsessed with Kid Cudi.
He's like a mentor of yours, though. He's been part of your story and part of your progress since really early. I found that like really beautiful to see, because like, I mean, he didn't end up featuring on any of your songs until like really recently.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so he has been a mentor of mine for a really, really long time. And yeah, we haven't done anything together until recently. And yeah, he's just a great, great guy. And I really appreciate his work and everything that he's done. And just him as a person, he's amazing.
When you're like working with him, like when you're like 12, 13, 14, it's like the equivalent of going to like football camp or something, but like for
totally
for like music.
100%.
It's like, you're not good enough at that stage. Like, you're learning to run and like, you know, like, do you know what I mean?
100%. It's insane. It was like, yeah, it was the best experience ever. Like, I don't know. I look back on it, I'm like, that's crazy. I can't even think of that now.
I've got like this in my head where like Kid Cudi's like the old guy in Rocky, and you're like Rocky, and you're like, he's training. And, like,
that's hilarious.
Yeah. Did he help you like learn to rap? Like obviously your dad was a great rapper as well. Like, is it in the blood, or does it something that has to be worked at?
Oh, it's definitely something that has to be worked at, for sure. I think that you really just have to work and work and work. It's like, you know, I've been doing this for like 10 years ish, and I'm still just getting to the place where people are starting to think that I have some cool raps sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, so it definitely takes a really long time, I would say.
Because, like, was the first thing that you put out, like, I saw this picture on your like Twitter and I laughed. I was just like, oh my God, these guys, like, these are literal rugrats. They're like short. Mm-hmm. I was like, the first thing you put out was like it was featured on a Justin track, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the first, that song was for Karate Kid. That was the first, my first movie and my first song.
The photo, because you put it on Twitter like a couple of weeks ago.
Totally.
And like, you look like you're like friggin' 3 foot.
Yeah, literally, it's insane.
And Justin Bieber's got that like early, just to be fair, like, I look like the old, like real old haggard, fucked up.
I'm done. But he did have his swoosh going on for sure.
So like, obviously, I mean, if your first piece of music was made with Justin, like, it must be nice to come full circle, I guess, like back on this record.
Yeah, it really is. It's really great to come full circle. And it's really exciting.
Like, the compare and contrast must be really funny. If like, what?
Oh, it's gonna be next level. I'm so excited.
I haven't heard the Justin track that you're on at the minute, but Like, have you guys always been like close friends like that, or has it been 10 years difference between seeing each other or what?
No, we've stayed close friends, seeing each other multiple times a year, I would say, for the past 10 years. He actually called me just before I got on this, and I was like, man, I have to do a Zoom really quickly. I have to call you back, bro.
I just love the fact that, like, you know, you like, you just sort of like screamed Bieber for me. You were like going, yeah, not today. Not
today. So I was like, I'll call you back later.
Like you must have like such a connection, because like you guys both got super famous super early, and you probably didn't get that time to like run about LA or run about wherever you were, like, mm-hmm. with you know, on, like with an like with a certain like anonymous like nature. So like, does mm-hmm. that bring you closer together, because you kind of understand each other better?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's obviously gone through that a lot more than me. But I definitely, it was a point of our bond and us coming together where it's like, we both like can't do this, or we both can't do that, or we both have to have this happen to them. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh man, it's awesome. Like, so that's definitely been a big source of us bonding, but we just really, we're into the same stuff. You know, if we never did any of this stuff, I think that we would still be homies if we found a way to meet, because we're just into a lot of the same things.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What do you do to hang out, like, when you're not making music?
What do I do?
Yeah, like, do you just, like, go skateboarding, or like, I know you're a boarder, right?
Yeah, I'll skateboard, or I will surf, or I will like ride around on a dirt bike, and just whatever I do in that day, I'll always end it with watching the sunset.
That's beautiful. Is that like why you've got that like huge sunset right behind you?
Yes.
That is gorgeous. Yeah. So when you say you're going to watch the sunset every night, you just come into that room and just like look at it.
That's hilarious. I tried to actually go up to the hill where I took that photo and watch the sunset.
Oh, is that your own photo? That's gorgeous. That's an amazing pic.
Thank you.
I want to go back to the skating, because like I'm obsessed, because like I skated for like my whole teenage years. Like, I've pretty much crumpled and destroyed every single bone in my foot and leg just by screwed up skating. Like, what do you prefer? Like, do you are you like street skater? Do you like jumping on like quarter pipes, or what
yeah, do you- I don't really skate transits too much, but I just like to skate on the street and hang out and skate through New York. Like, that's my vibe. Like, that's so much fun.
I think that as good as I ever got was like, I could like heel flip down like a 5-set. Maybe that was probably.
Oh, wow. That's fire.
That's as far as I ever get. I'm like too old to skate now. If I did like a heel flip down a 5-set now, my whole spine would rupture and my like explode.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but like I love skating. The thing I love about skating so much is like the community of it. Like you're just like in a group, in a bubble, and it's you against the world.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
I'm psyched for the new Tony Hawk's to come out as well.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be wild.
There's
supposed to be a new skate coming out too, right? Soon, hopefully.
Do you game much?
I do sometimes, but I haven't gamed all of quarantine.
That's like the perfect time to game.
It's the perfect time, and it makes me nervous that I'm like not gaming anymore. Because if I'm not gaming now, when am I gonna game? You know, it's like, man, I feel like I'm a disgrace. Like I should have my fucking World of Warcraft tab pulled up, just like behind this Zoom, just waiting for me to, you know what I mean? But I don't. Like, and under a normal life, I would, but like, I don't know. I haven't been playing World of Warcraft, man. I don't know why.
You should be playing World of Warcraft like while this is happening and like just like feigning interest in any of the
literally like just playing World of Warcraft. Like, and like I would be so obsessed before where I would like think about that, but like I just don't. I just don't play anymore. And I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe you're growing up. I think I'm like growing back. I'm going backwards. Like I didn't game.
Totally.
I'm too busy for this shit. Like I've got various different things to be doing, and yeah, since quarantine came in, I was just like, man, I guess this is my life now.
100%. 100%.
I don't know how you ever find the time to game anyway, man, because like you're on the clock, at least like from what it looks like from the outside. Like I know for myself, like if you don't work a 9-to-5, then doing loads of different things isn't that hectic because you're not doing a 9-to-5. But at the same time, like you've got like your charity, you're like sort of your nonprofit, like the art that you make, the various different like merch and like all sorts of different things. Like you really sort of like do manage to marry the multi-platform thing. Creating to you is definitely more than just one platform at a time, isn't it?
Totally, totally. I love to just create on a bunch of different levels all at once. Whether it's through 501c3 and the work that we're doing in Flint, whether it's through, you know, creating awareness for voting here in America with Voters, my Vote AF campaign, whether it's through, you know, all these different things. I just love to be creative and to make things.
With the voting stuff, like, is that something that's like a big passion of yours? Like, as I saw you like retweeting like Billie Eilish and she was like talking about it quite recently. It feels like the youth in America are probably more mobilized now than ever before.
Yeah, I think the youth is very mobilized and I think we're ready to vote and get out there and like change the world for the better.
Yeah, because it sucks like when I like talk to my American friends and they're like talking about Trump and stuff and I'm just like it sucks for you. But then at the same time, we live in the UK and I've got like the fucking diet version of Donald Trump, like with Boris Johnson in charge, so like it's not very good this side of the water either. But I was thinking about this like a couple of weeks ago. I was like, you've got the three P's of the apocalypse in 2020. You've got politics, the pandemic, and police. And that's what's happening in the US and throughout the world as well, but like definitely the policing in the US. Like, how does that affect you like personally? Like, how does that make you feel?
I mean, racism has just gotten more blatant than ever in the world, and specifically in the UK, specifically in the US. Mm-hmm. And I just, it's really sad, and it's terrible to see all of the terrible things that are happening and the people that have been killed in this process, and just because of the color of their skin. And it's been happening for a long time. And it's continuing to happen. And I'm just proud that people are actually standing up, because there was a time where people would be found in the morning hanging from a tree and people wouldn't say anything and people wouldn't care, or it wouldn't spread around to really spread awareness to try to find out what happened and who killed this person and that it was a hate crime, you know? And now that people are actually waking up and seeing that these things are happening, where a lot of people would try to say, oh, racism doesn't exist before. And now people can clearly see, oh no, it does exist. It's happening. And it's a very real thing. And it's so sad and it's so terrible and it's heartbreaking and it's disgusting. But I'm just glad that the whole world is a witness, is here to witness this so that we can move on and we can actually make a change.
What sort of tangible things can I do as like a white person to help things move forward in a good and positive way? Because it is a question I've kind of asked myself throughout this, because the conversation has been so much deeper.
I would say that it's really important to educate. That's the most important thing that we need to do. We need to learn about what has happened in order to move forward from what has happened, to educate ourselves on what's happening in the world, to educate ourselves on what has happened on slavery, on segregation, on systemic racism, and just all the different ways that the system has been used to make sure that the people of color suffer more in each culture, all over the world, everywhere. So I feel like the more that we can understand this suppression upon the society, we can move forward from it, and we can speak on it from a place where we do understand more than we did at a different time, because we're all learning from the times.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, educating is the most important thing, just on Black history and Black culture.
Like, knowing the way the albums are generally recorded, like they're normally recorded about a year before they come out, like sometimes. But like with everything that's happened this year, is it really difficult for you to create like tracks or art in any way, shape or form without it being educated by the politics and the racism and stuff like that's happening?
Yeah, you know, being a Black man, it's hard for me to make an album in general without it having to do with that. I mean, that's completely what Iris in my last album was. It was all about this, and it was all about police brutality. And if you look at the music videos, there's extreme hints to what the album is about and what it's talking about. And it's very much so hard to create anything, regardless of these times or not. It's hard to create any type of art that doesn't have this at the forefront of it.
Who do you think are like the cultural leaders and the spokespeople that you look up to for this? Because like I enjoy like having sort of people suggest me going and listening to or reading or watching, just to educate myself a little bit more. And I find that like Killer Mike from Run the Jewels spoke a lot of sense about this.
100%. Killer Mike is a very, very educated man. I really love the things he talks about. And for me personally, I've just been watching Malcolm X interviews. Mm-hmm. That's it. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and just educating myself on people that are here right now talking about it and the people that have been talking about it, because we've been singing these songs for a really long time.
It's funny, like one of the biggest genres that deals with political unrest is punk rock. And if you look at like maybe the front cover of your like new album, you'd be like, oh, this is as far away from punk rock as possible. But it's not. Like when I think about you and your music, like you have got a bit of a punk ethos to you, don't you?
Definitely with my last album, for sure.
Yeah, I think that like you can hear it in the sonics, but also like I mean the sort of DIY nature of punk, of going, listen, nobody's telling me what to do, I'm gonna go and do it myself. I'm gonna do it
100%.
100%. Well, I've also noticed both of us are radio hosts. You've done like a show on Beats now, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
Like, why did you find that?
I just, they reached out to me and they wanted me to come on to be a radio host. And I was like, I definitely will. This sounds amazing.
I always like hearing how like musicians deal with like their first radio show where they have to stand behind a mic and play tracks. Cause I think that everybody thinks it's really easy, but it's actually harder than it looks.
Totally. It's so much harder than it looks. It's crazy. Definitely giving a lot of props to you.
Oh, like that sounds like I was fishing, wasn't it? I was just like going, yes.
That's so funny.
I saw like on TikTok, there was a Jaden Smith TikTok challenge. That's how you knew, mm-hmm. you, right? And the TikTok challenge was, how many times can you say Jaden Smith in one video?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hilarious.
I feel like once you've made it onto like TikTok, then you're fine. You're golden for life.
Totally. TikTok is a crazy one.
Is it something that like you think about? Like, in, like, do you think about how you use your social media for good or for like for business, or is it something that is a necessary evil? Like, I personally, I really hate it, but I need it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that you can really use it for a lot of good if there's good out there in the world to talk about or things that you're involved in. I feel like you can, you know, it's just a platform. You know, you can use the platform to put amazing things on it, or you can use the platform to, you know, to not. And I feel like it's really important to put positive and impactful things on our platforms.
Big time. I want to talk about your first mixtape, The Cool Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it came out like 2012. Am I right?
I think so.
I don't know. My timeline's all over the place.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, 2012.
So The Cool Cafe, you can't really find that. Like, it's not on Spotify. It's not on Apple Music. I think like maybe somebody has put it up somewhere on YouTube or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason for that? Are you like going, that was too early, I don't want that represented to me, or like, or
no? I wish that was on Apple Music. I want as many people to hear that as possible.
You need to shout out your man Zane Lowe. Get him to put that up.
Yeah, it has samples in it that it can't be cleared. There's a lot of, every song is someone else's song.
No, okay. Oh, so
yeah.
Like, surely you can clear that in like 2020, where you can just like go here, take.
I hope I'll go through and try, but there's, yeah, like every song, like Purity Ring, Cudi, there's all these different artists.
Okay. Yes. Surely of all the people, it'll clear it. Kid Cudi, like,
yeah, I'm sure Cudi would probably clear it, but then I have to clear the other 16 songs, so that's why it's still on the internet.
Dope that you've got Purity Ring on there. I haven't heard that track. Like, I'm a big Purity Ring fan. I love the darkness and the macabre of like their music.
Totally, they're awesome.
What was that? What was it like putting together that mixtape? It must have been really fun. Like, it being your first like piece of music that was out in the world.
Yes, it was really fun. It was like the start. It was the start. It was the full fledged beginning of just the whole vibe. And yeah, I'm just happy about it. That was fun.
I was like thinking, right, like, it must be hard for you to shock like your family, right? Because like when I started playing music, right, I would like shock my mom by coming home dressed in military gear and like have things pierced and just like look really weird. Mom would be like, going, what the fuck are you doing? Mm-hmm. Whereas like your mom was in a metal band, like she was mm-hmm. in a proper hardcore like metal band. It mm-hmm. must be really hard for you to like shock your mom by like going like, this is what I'm doing. And she's like, well, do you know what, hold my devil horns, like.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, like, it's definitely hard to shock them, for sure.
Well, like, I haven't actually like listened too much to your mom's metal band. Have you ever seen them play?
Yeah, like, I was on tour with them for a long time.
When you were like, how old were you? Like, were you a kid?
Yeah, I was probably like 10.
God, what? Holy crap! What's it like to go on tour when you're 10?
It's freaking fire.
Really?
Yeah, most fire thing ever.
I mean,
have to do school like in different cities, like with your teacher and stuff, like on a bus. Like, it's awesome.
I mean, no 2 days are the same, and then you get to go and watch a rock concert every night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's so mad. I never really thought about what it must be like to go on tour and all of that. You must have like lived off carrots and hummus, because like that's all a touring is, right? Touring is
totally
playing live music and then eating carrots and hummus.
Mm-hmm.
What's your relationship like to touring yourself? Like, what do you like about playing live?
It's just fun. I like to get in front of the fans and to play music, and it's just a lot of fun.
Who's like your favorite live artist? Like, who have you seen? Like, Kendrick's mine. I saw Kendrick a couple of years ago, and I was just like, God, man, nobody's beating this guy.
Yeah, Kendrick's amazing. Kendrick's amazing, I would say. Or like, Tyler, the Creator, is really amazing.
I met Tyler once, right? Tyler, obviously, like, you're good friends with him, right? But like, he doesn't like doing interviews, and he doesn't like journalists, right? Which mm-hmm. which I know for certain. So like before he was banned in the UK, he did like a thing where he got like loads of journalists onto a bus outside Vice and drove them to a paintballing thing. And he, him and his cronies like had paintballs and they basically just shot loads of journalists with paintballs over and over.
Wow. That's awesome.
And I was like, that's, and then he sort of like refused to do the interviews like afterwards as well. And I was like, that's like the most Tyler thing ever.
Totally. Yeah, that's hilarious.
Did he work on this record with you? Did you just like work together on this?
No, we didn't. We did not work together on this record whatsoever. Mm. But we definitely want to work probably in the future.
With you on his, or you are vice versa?
We don't know. We don't know. I don't know. I don't know what his musical plans are in his life. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, like, I love Rory. Like, I haven't heard any.
Oh, Rory is amazing.
Yeah, he came on me like it was incredible the first time I heard his music, and then he kind of went away for a bit, and I hadn't heard anything from him in a while. So, like, actually, this is the first time he's popped up back in my sort of periphery vision. Was like on your album. He's a real creative force, isn't he?
Yeah, he's amazing.
So like what are like the big goals that you've got like musically? Like what is like a metric of success for you? Is it like having a certain amount of people live? Is it like having a certain amount of streams? Is it selling a certain amount of albums? Like what is success for you?
I want to make one person feel like they are understood by someone in that they're heard.
What artist did that for you?
Cuddy did that for me.
And the inspiration and like the influences on CTV3, like what are you pulling in? Like, there's so much hip hop, so much indie beats, but like, who were the artists and the art that sort of spoke to you when you were making that record?
The Beach Boys and Tribe Called Quest.
Incredible. I hear both as well.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Tribe, like having Fife Dog and Q-Tip is like the perfect, like we were talking angels and devils earlier on. They are the angels and the devils, like both of the roughest and the smoothest together on one. So yeah, man, thank you so much for coming on the Slacker podcast. Much love for that. And yeah, thanks, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.